All right, so we are holding on page 156 in Bava Basra, the sixth line on the page, middle of Oysamach Dalim. We learned yesterday about various characteristics of the Levyosin. So now let's talk about, we finished off yesterday, Marshall pointed out that the Gemara is telling us how mighty and powerful and long-lasting the effects of the Levyosin are, and all of it was only created to be a Sudah for the Tzaddikim Lasid lovers. So now let's get into that Sukkah and what else will be done with the Levyosin. Omer Rav Babachona Omer Abyechan, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasa Sudah LaTzaddikim Mibsara Shal Levyosin. In the future, Hashem will make a meal for the tzaddikim out of the flesh of the Levyosin. So again, our Gemara is not really focusing so much on the Shur HaBur, page 156 in Bava Basra. So our Gemara is not really focusing on the Shur HaBur, otherwise known as Behemoth. We mentioned it briefly before, that there is a connection between them. As long as the Levyosin is alive, the Behemoth knows it's safe as well, because Marshall pointed out the famous thing about the duel to the death that's going to be between them, but that's not in our Gemara, that's dealt with in the Medrash on Parshas Shmini. We learned, by the way, yesterday, we had the expression in our Gemara, that Gavriel is going to make a knigia, is going to make a hunt for the Levyosin, like the kind of hunt that people do for wild animals or fish or what have you. The Medrash begins over there by pointing out, first of all, that anybody who didn't eat tray for food in this world is going to be zoche to eat from the sudah shal Levyosin and the shor habor lasid lavoi. But the Medrash also mentions over there that in those times, you know, hunts like that were a very common kind of goyish pastime and entertainment, you know, kind of like nowadays you have bullfights in Hispanic countries, and you have hunts in various English-speaking countries and so forth, so people who don't go to such goyish entertainments are going to be zoicha to be able to see the entertainment of Gavriel going and hunting Levyosin, and the Shur HaBur and Levyosin going and fighting with one another, lasid lavoi. Okay, so now we're saying Hashem is going to make a Suda for the Tzaddikim out of the flesh of the Levyosin. We talked about before, does it mean a Gashmiyistika meal, does it mean a Ruchmiyistika one, etc. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and here again, the Gemara is going to be quoting various psukim from Hashem's description to Eov of the Levyosin. So the pasuk says, Yichlu olav chavorim. Chavorim, which is another way of saying chaverim, friends, will make a meal over it. Now, in Pashat Pshat, in context of the psukim over there, these are all rhetorical questions that Hashem is asking Eov. Do you think, would you be able to catch the Levyosin? Would you be able to go and sell it? And sell the meat of it to people and so on and so forth. But here the Gemara is taking these as not just rhetorical questions. You, Eov, could not possibly do such things, but as statements of fact. But Hashem can do and will do these things, and la'asid lava, this will happen. So yichru olav chabarim, ve'en kira el asuda. The word kira in this pasuk means a meal. Shenema v'yichru lehem kira gdola v'yichru v'yishtu. As we find a story in Sefer Melachim, where at one point some Arami soldiers have come to arrest Elisha, and Elisha davened to the Eivishter, and he struck them with blindness, and then he took them to the capital city of Shomron, and then when they realize they're in Shomron, they're in enemy territory, then they're pretty afraid, and the king of Yisrael asks, should I kill them? And Elisha tells him, no, if you had captured them in battle is one thing, but they came here on their own and not knowing where they are. Instead, make them a party and send them back home, and they'll realize not to tangle with the Jews again. And sure enough, the pasuk said he made him a big party by Yichru Alehem Keira Gdola. So we see that the word Keira means a meal, so Yichru Alev Chavorim means that. Ve'en Chavorim, Elo Tamer Chachamim, the word Chavorim in this pasuk refers to Tamer Chachamim, Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hayeshev Espaganim, you Jewish people who are sitting in the gardens in Golus, Chavirim Makshivim L'Koylech, the friends of Tamer Chachamim, are listening to your voice of learning Torah, Hashmi'ini, Hashem says, make me be able to hear it. Marshav points out, the Rambam mentions, like this we have in the Mishnah, you have the expression, you have the word chover very often, meaning somebody who's careful with mitzvahs, careful with the details of Trumas and Maestris, careful to separate Trumas and Maestris, careful with the dinim of Trumah Batara, and throughout Shas, such a person is called a chover. Now, it's not exclusively a chavur for that purpose. It's not necessarily a Talmud Chacham, but in practice, to be familiar with all the ins and outs of the dinim, he's going to have to be at least a shtickle Talmud Chacham. And the Rambam points out the reason we call such a person a chavur is because the friendship of Talmud Chachamim is a true friendship. Because it's a friendship l'shem shamayim, as opposed to the friendships that regular people have, which is often just avash afluya bedavra, like you have in Pirkei Avos. So therefore, so the chavorim will yichru, will translating means that the Talmid Chachamim will have a meal of it. Vashar chokinoi. So as far as what's left of the meat afterwards, the Talmid Chachamim won't be able to finish it completely. Vashrus chokinoi. So it'll be divided up over oisin v'schor of a shukah Yerushalayim, and they'll do a trade in it in the marketplaces of Yerushalayim. They'll buy and sell it. Pashut. The idea is, in other words, Marshall explains the same way as, for example, Maisa Sheni and Netzer Avai and certain other such things have to be eaten Davka in Yerushalayim. Kodshim Talim have to be eaten Davka in Yerushalayim, and they can't be taken out. The same way, the meat of the Levyasin over here is going to be like that as well. It can only be eaten only in Yerushalayim, and therefore they'll be selling it, and people will be eating it Davka in Yerushalayim. So one point is the Rif points out over here, you know, often you have Talmid Chachamim who are supported by their respective Zvulans. So now, therefore, when we say that they'll do Schoda with it, will mean that now the Zvulans who supported them will also have their portion of it as well. Shenemar, as the same pasuk continues, after the first half of the pasuk, Yichru al Chavarim, the end of that pasuk continues, Yechatsuhu ben Knanim. They will divide it among Knanim. Now, what does Knanim mean? Then Knanim al Tagrim. The word Knanim doesn't mean the ethnicity, the seven nations of Knan. It means merchants. Shenemar, as we find a pasuk where the Navi criticizes the Jewish people for certain Jews in his times for dishonest business practices. So he says, Knan, the merchant, b'yodei moznei mirma, had dishonest scales in his hands. Lashik ohev, he loves to wrong people and cheat them out of their money. So we see that the word Knan over there doesn't mean the Knanim, it means merchants. The boy same mahacha, or if you prefer, I have a different pasuk that also shows that the word Knan means a merchant. As you have the pasuk in Yeshaya, he's describing the downfall of the city of Tsur. The city of Tsur was, we talked about at the beginning of this paddock, was a great commercial, was the center, the great commercial center of the ancient world. Everybody came there to buy and sell. And various Nevi'im, we talked about there, Yechezkel gives a long Nevu'ah about how they're going to be destroyed. Yeshaya also gives a Nevu'ah about it, but more briefly. And he says, you want to know what a great, powerful city it was, Asher Secharehah Sarim, that its merchants were princes, you know, noblemen. In other words, the common merchants over there were comparable to noblemen anywhere else. Kinoneha Nichbade Aretz, its kinonim, which is another word for merchants, were the honored of the land. So we see again that the word Knan or Kinon means merchant. I once saw somebody once gave an explanation. The Shurdash Kona means to subjugate, like the word Hachna. So therefore, what it means is, in other words, what does a merchant do? He's trying to drive down and bargain down the price. Therefore, he's called a Knan in that sense, like he tries to bring down what he should have to pay the other guy. Okay. Anyway, the point is that therefore, when the pasuk is saying Yechatsuhu ben Knanim, that the Levyasin will be divided among the Knanim, means that the merchants will be doing business with it. Anaf Yosef brings over here from Torah Chaim that there may be a difference. To what degree did the Seicher support the Talmud Chacham? If he actually fully supported him the way, so sometimes you can have just mato malai b'kisim shel Talmid Chacham, like he invests money on behalf of the Talmid Chacham, then he doesn't get such a great schar. On the contrary, rather, he says the mato malai, where he's actually supporting the Talmid Chacham financially, then he deserves an equal portion of the Suda shel Levyasin. But if he's just going to say yeah, ba'alma, sometimes he helps out, then he's not really going to get to the Suda itself. We'll just have the leftover we're saying over here that he'll get to trade and do business with. So the Gemara continues. V'omer Rabba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Osi Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lasa Sukkul of Tzadikim Me'Urah Shel Levyasin. In the future, Hashem will make from the skin of the Levyasin a sukkah for the tzaddikim. So in other words, the point is, Maharsha says, the same way as we said that the same way we're saying that the flesh of the Lev Yosef is going to be considered like kodshim kalim and can be eaten only in Yerushalayim, even the skin of it is going to be used for a mitzvah, namely for a sukkah. And this is why you have people who have the minhag. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch that when they eat after the gezegenzich from the sukkah, after they eat the last meal on Hashanah Rabbah or Shmini Atzeres respectively, then they say Avol Yehi Rotzen that we should be zoicha to sit in the sukkah of Lev Yosef. So therefore, so it'll be used for that. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, another one of those psukim in Iyov, Hasamale basukas oroi. Could you fill up and make sukkas out of the skin of Lev Yosef? Again, in other words, implying you, Iyov, couldn't do that, but Hashem can and will do that. Now, zocha, if a person is zocha and learned Torah to the degree that he could and for the right motivation and lishma and all that, oisim loy sukkah, then again, sukkah is made for him from that skin. Loy zocha, and if he wasn't to that degree of skus, oisim loy tzilzol, then instead there will be made a tzilzol for him. Rashbam explains the difference is a sukkah has four walls and a roof on top. Whereas a tzilzol is just the roof on top without the mechitzis around. So it's just going to be like four poles with a canopy on top. That's the tzilzol. So if he's zocher, if he does that, then he'll have that. So now if he was zocher, he has that degree of protection. And the point is, there's the idea that the Gemara tells us in a couple of places that also lovely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Minautika, Hashem will take the sun out of its sheath, and the Rishoyim will be formed by it, and the Tzaddikim will benefit from it. So in other words, these sukkahs and tzilzol and the rest that we're talking about is to be able to, so that the tzaddikim will be able to withstand that bright and intense light and heat of the sun without it harming them, meaning to be able to absorb the tremendous gili of the course that will be at that point. So therefore, they have the tremendous gili of the course. So therefore, they'll have respectively a sukkah and a tzotzol and so forth. So how does it say what? So, but here we're talking about. So to some extent, we're saying there'll be. I mean, we're saying there'll be a sukkah for the tzaddikim. But since the Gemara is going on to say zocha oisim loy sukkah, it sounds like we're not talking about one big sukkah necessarily. We're talking about individual sukkahs for the tzaddikim. Or maybe what it means is that tzaddikim, with a high level tzaddikim, will be able to be in one big sukkah, everybody together, and then the lesser ones will be under its tzilzol and so forth. Yeah. So loy zocha, if he wasn't zocha to that degree of having a tzilzol, oisim loy anok, then the skin of the Lev Yosef will be used to make a necklace for him. Shenem of anok and legagare secha, as the pasuk says. Now this one is a pasuk from Mishlei, not from Iyov, where the pasuk says that the Torah will be like a garland or a necklace around your neck. What is this doing over here? When we're talking up until now about pesukim from Iyov, we'll get to that in a minute. Where we'll see what Maharsha explains. Zocha oisim le anok. So now, if a person is zocha, then he has that necklace of the Torah. Loi zocha, and if he wasn't even zocha to that, oisim le kameya. Then it was just made for him a kameya, which is an amulet, which is a little. It's also hung around the neck or some other body part, but it's a much smaller thing. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, going back to Iyov, the sikshirenu lenare secha, and tie it to you young girls. So in other words, again, Hashem on the surface, Hashem is telling Iyov, could you possibly catch the Lev Yosef and use any of the skin of it, even to make a little amulet, a little kameya for a girl in your family? But Hashem is also implying by that I will do just that for those who are zoicha to that. So what's this? So you have four different levels over here. So Maharsha explains, now listen, we have different people learn Torah and do mitzvahs with different motivations. Some of them do it lishma. Some of them do it to get a reward from Hashem. Still other people do it to get a reward from other people. And then you have people who do it only that people should honor them and call them a rav and a choshuv and even lakantir, even to attack other people with it. So now what he's saying is like this. If he does lishma, then he has the mitzvah of sukkah. So because he learned Torah lishma, therefore he's zocher to another mitzvah, namely the mitzvah of sukkah. If he was only doing it to get reward from Hashem, then instead he'll only have a shade over his head. So it'll protect him from the Yom HaDin, but he won't have the mitzvah of sukkah, because after all, a sukkah has to have walls. Then, when he wasn't zeichet to that, he was doing it in order that he should pride himself on it. People will call him Rav, and so forth. So then all he has is a necklace, which is just fine. People look at a necklace as a nice thing, so he wanted the Torah to be a decoration for him. So fine, the Levyasin skin becomes a decoration for him. Then when the lowest of the low is that he wants to get reward from people, he wants that people should actually reward him for his learning Torah, then he has a kameya, which is a kameya, really. I mean, the whole concept that a kameya even works. I mean, you know, you have a lot of famous kameyas in Jewish history, and some, including some that were pretty controversial. But when you get down to it, how do they work? Really, it's basically just the power of suggestion. So therefore, as in fact, we find in Marshal refers to in Hilchus Shabbos, you have certain dinim about when you are and aren't allowed to wear a kameya on Shabbos, only like if it's been shown to work a couple of times already. In other words, that it has, the person who made it was a very persuasive person, and people actually believe that his kameyas actually helped them, so then you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So here we're talking about, in other words, that the person just basically he all he gets is something that he can imagine will help him, even though it won't really so much. How does the pasuk come in over here with the, how does the pasuk from Mishlei come in? Marshall says, because that pasuk from Mishlei that says Va'anokim l'gagar esecha, the first part of it, ki livyas chen heim l'reshecha, the Torah will be a beautiful garland on your head. So therefore, that's the same as the tzil dogim. That's the same thing as the canopy made of the skin of the levyasin that we said before. So now, therefore, so the Gemara is saying that. So again, if a person is zoicha, again, he learned Torah for the sake of reward from Hashem, he gets a tzil, which is also referred to in Mishlei as livyas chen heim l'reshecha. And then, if he's not on that level, if he learned only in order to get covered, then he gets v'anokim l'gagar esecha. Then he gets a necklace for his neck.
Are the people
going to
see his
busha? Are people going to see his busha? I guess they will. I don't know. Vashar, as far as the rest of it, Poser, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achoymus Yerushalayim. Hashem will take the rest of the skin of the Levyasin and spread it over the walls of Yerushalayim. V'zivo, Holech, U'mabhik, Misofa, Olam, Vav, Sofei. And the glow, the shine of that skin will extend from one end of the world to the other. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'hochu goyim la'olech, nations will be able to walk by your light, or melachim and kings will know gazarchech by the glow of your, by the shiny glow that you're going to have. So Maharsha explains that the Gemara is darshining the word la'orech with an aleph, as if it said la'orech with an ayin, meaning by your skin. So therefore, they're going to be able to walk even in the darkness by the light of the tremendous light of the skin of the Levyasin, which is going to be hanging on the walls of Yerushalayim. Representing, in other words, so we're saying you have the four levels of people who learned Torah and did mitzvahs, where they get their respective sukkah or tzeltzel or whatever from the skin, but the point is that the greatness of it is going to be, even the goyish nations are still going to have a certain degree of benefit from that levyasin, namely that they'll be able to see the light, they'll see the light that shines off the skin of it.
But it's the light coming from the skin.
The skin itself apparently is luminous. It's luminous skin. So therefore, it'll be so bright that even the goyim will benefit from that. Speaking of the walls of Yerushalayim, let's talk about another pasuk that the Yeshaya talks about them. The Santi Kad Chod Shim Sheisayich. Hashem says that I will make your Shim Sheisayich made out of Kad Chod. So what is Kad Chod? That's what we're going to discuss now. Rashbam translates Shim Sheisayich as Chomei Sayich, your walls. So the walls of Yerushalayim will be built out of Kad Chod. Well, we're going to explain. Amr of Shmuel Benachmeni, Pligi Beit Shrein Amutrei Amuroi Va'ara. There are other explanations of what Shim Shesayich means as well. Marsha refers to them. First of all, the Gemara is gonna mention soon that it may mean windows for air and light to get in. It may mean window panes, it may mean window sills, etc. There are a few different possibilities. So they're gonna be made out of kadchoid, which is some kind of precious stone, or some kinds of precious stones. So Amar Shmuel Ben Nachmani, Pligi Betrei Amiroi Ba'ara. There are two Amiroim on earth who argued what the meaning of Kad Choyd is. Yehuda B'chizkiya Bonav Sharabchiyah.
Why are you saying on earth
two Amiroim on earth, as opposed to, we're going to talk about Malachim and Shemayim. In other words, it was the same machlokas both on earth and in Shemayim. Yeah. So Yehuda b'Chizki Bon of Shor Abchia. Namely, they were the son, the twin sons of Reb Chia, whose names were Yehuda and Chizkiya. And the same machlokas, the Trei Malachim b'Rakia, two Malachim in Shemayim, have the same argument, Michal v'Gavriel. So they argue what the identity of Kad Choyd is. The Gersa in the printed Gemara is the other way around. Trei Malachim Berakia Gavriel Mechol va'Amrila Trei Amiroid Marov Oman in Yehuda v'Chizkiya. The printed Gemara has it the other way around. That it's Malachim and Shemayim who argue, and some say that it's two Amiroyim in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, basically, what came first, the Machlokas among the Malachim, or the machlokas among the Amoroyim? So is it the Amoroyim had the machlokas first, and then as a result of that, the malachim that has an effect lamaila, and the malachim have the same machlokas, or is it the other way around? It started with the malachim, and then Tosfos points out that Eliyahu Navi told the chachamim what's going on in Shemayim, and Yehuda and Chizkiya, the sons of Reb Chiya, had the same argument. In any case, the argument is Chad Omer de Shoyham v'Chad Omer de Yoshve. One says that Kad Choyd is the stone, and then among the stones of the Choshen, called Shoyham. The other one says it's Yoshve. Now Rashman points out, I mean, Yeshaya lived hundreds of years before the sons of Reb Chiya. What it means is Yeshaya gave Nevuah that, so what does it mean? So Omer l'Makadosh Baruch Hu Leve Kedein Uchedein. So Hashem says Kad Choyd Meloshin Kedein Uchedein, like this one and like this one. Hashem is saying it's going to be both. It'll have the advantage of the both of them. Now, so Rashbam points out, Yeshaya lived hundreds of years before the sons of Reb Chiya. But it means when Yeshaya is saying the Nevuah, that it's going to follow all the Mephoshim. Yerushalayim is going to be built according to the opinions of all of the Mephoshim. Tosfos brings a different gusa that it's not referring to Kad Choyd, that's referring to the pasuk previously mentions Puch and Sapirim. So that would mean, in other words, Kedein Uchedein would mean that it's going to be both Puch and Sapir, which are also precious stones. Most of the Mephoshim, though, have it as we have in the Gemara over here, that we're talking about when the pasuk says Kad Choyd, that itself means both Shoyham and Yoshve. So what does that represent? So first, Marsha points out, you know, that those are the last two stones in the Choshen. They're the fourth row in the Choshen. So therefore, they represent the light of the course that we will have when it comes to the fourth Geula. We have the Geula from Bavel, and from Paras and Mondai, and from Yavon, and we're still waiting for the fourth Geula from Golas Edom, which should be Meher of Yamenu. So now we're saying that one will be, first there'll be Mashiach ben Yosef, and there'll be the light of Yerushalayim, which is located in Binyamin's territory. So therefore, so Hashem says, Levi Kedein Uchedein, you'll have the advantage of the both. You'll have the advantage of Yosef, whose stone was the Shoyham, and the advantage of Binyamin, where Yerushalayim is in his territory, whose stone is Yoshve. And those are on the fourth row of the Choshen, representing the end of the fourth Golos. The Alter Rebbe has in the Kutta Torah and Parshas Re'e has two Maimorim that both begin with this pasuk, the Samti Kad Choyd Shem Sheisayich, and quoting this Gemara over here, and the Alter Rebbe goes into a great deal of discussion, the Pnimiyus Yonim, what this represents. First, he points out also again that these are the stones of Yosef and Binyamin, like Marashal is saying. Now, Yosef represents bringing down Elikus Milamayla Lamata. Whereas Binyamin is Yosef is called the Tzaddik Elyon, who brings down all the course into our world. Binyamin is the Tzaddik Tachton, who does the Sarusa de Vosata. So therefore, the argument between Yehuda and Chizkiya, and between Michal and Gavriel, is which one is going to be more important, the Sarusa de La'ela or the Sarusa de Vosata, Chesed or Gvura. And Hashem says, Levi Kedein Uchedein, it'll be both. They'll have the Milas of both of them. Hashem will pour down the Sarusa de La'ela, and Yerushalayim itself and the Jewish people will be brought to a higher level where they do the Sarusa de La'ela, and where they're worthy of being able to receive that Hashpah, that full Hashpah in the Milah. Then the Alter Rebbe goes on in the second Maimer to point out that precious stones, unlike other sources of light, they shine even, for example, even underwater and even and whatever, and therefore they represent a certain intrinsic Gilead, of course, which again you have Shoyam is more of a bright stone, and Yoshe has a different kind of quality to it, and he talks about Barichos again, what those represent, the Pnimis and Yonim, and again we were saying that Hashem is saying there's going to be the advantages of both of them in rebuilt Yerushalayim. So that's Levi Kedein Uchedein, Basanti Kadchoid, that there'll be both of them. It won't just be one or just the other, it'll be both of them. It's an interesting idea, Mephoshim bringing this connection. We learned in Bava Metzia that Reb Chiya and his two sons were in their time comparable to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We had a story over there where Eliyahu HaNavi would regularly visit Rebbe's yeshiva, and one time he was late, and he explained because he had to wake up each of the others in turn and have them daven, and then Rebbe asks, is there anybody like them whose tefillos are so powerful in this world? And Eliyahu tells him, yes, it's Reb Chiya and his two sons. So therefore, Reb Chiya says, so following this idea then that Yosef primarily represents Chesed. It's in the Zohar. It's brought that Yosef has a special connection with Avraham Avinu. They both have something in connection with Boiker, so they both have to do in connection with Chesed. And Binyamin is more Gvura. So therefore, in keeping with that, so Yehuda and Chizkiah themselves represent Chesed and Gvura. One of them corresponds to Avraham, and the other one to Yitzchak. And therefore, they're the ones who argue over this. And Michal and Gabriel also. Michal is the Malach of Chesed, and Gabriel is the Malach of Gvura. So it all fits in. Okay. The pasuk continues, Usharayich la'avne ektach. Hashem continues, your gates will be made out of stones of ektach. So pasuk chapter, Rashbam explains, first of all, the word ektach means that it is related to the word kodeach means drilling. So first of all, it's going to be, as the Gemara is going to douch in over here, that Hashem is going to drill holes in the stones to make the gates of Yerushalayim, but also that it means like they have like a penetrating rays of light that emerge from them. They're such bright stones that they flash like fire. That's avnei ektach. There in the Ma'amorim over there, the Alter Rebbe also explains that Avnei Ektach here, we're talking about a person who doesn't feel such a connection to Elikos right now, it kind of has to be drilled in, and Ektach, the Aleph, is Lashon Osid, so it will happen, even though right now the person is not on that level yet. Anyway, so the Gemara continues. Ki hod Yosef Reb Yochanan v'kadosh. Reb Yochanan was one time sitting and darshaning to his Talmidim. In the future, Hashem is going to bring precious stones and pearls, change shloshim al shloshim, which are 30 by 30 amos, and carve into them. So the word ektach again means drilling or carving. So Hashem is going to carve into them holes of ten amos wide by 20 amos tall, or ma'amidim, mashari Yerushalayim, and set them up as the gates of Yerushalayim. We find that most of the gates in the Beis Mikdash were exactly that size, 10 amos wide and 20 amos tall. So now we're saying the gates of Yerushalayim, Ma'asid Lavoi, will also be that size, but instead of being as regular gates and regular walls are built out of a whole bunch of stones, here you'll have, by each gate, there'll be one giant precious stone with a hole of that size carved out in it. So why 30 by 30? Marsha explains, because since we're saying that the Samti Kadchoid Shimshe Sayich, one meaning of Shimshe Sayich is related to the word Shemesh, the sun. The Alter Rebbe knows Maimonim also talks about that the sun there represents Gilui Elikus of the kind that we have during Elul and Tishrei, especially. So therefore, the idea is that just like the sun has months of approximately 30 days. Each of the sun is in each mazel for approximately 30 days. Therefore, these precious stones will each be 30 by 30. So now, within each one of them will be this hole in the middle. So liglig olav oisa talmid. A certain talmid mocked what Rabbi Yochanan said. He said, "Hashta." This talmid said, "Hashta kebeisa detzaltzalto detzitzla loy mashkechinan." Nowadays, you can't even find a precious stone of the size of the egg of a tzitzla, which is a small bird. So it's a small bird and it has small eggs, and you can't find precious stones even the size of that. You're telling me that there's going to be precious stones like that 30 by 30 amos? So what happened? Eventually, this Talmud one time went on a sea voyage. Now, that can mean that he actually did go on a sea voyage, but Akosev brings over here that it can mean that he saw it in a dream, where we talked about before in connection with stories of Rav Baba Chana, that to a certain extent, when a person is is on the sea and not on land, then he has more of an ability to see visions of ruchniistic things. Especially because, for one thing, because he's always worried about that the ship might sink, so therefore he feels more closely connected to the Eibishter. Second of all, he also says it can mean that he dove deeply into Chochmah and figured it out. Anyway, so Chozem Malach HaShoris, the commensary, or the Yosef of the commensary, he saw Malach HaShoris, and was sitting there and carving and sawing Avonim Tovus Margolius Shem Shloshim Ashloshim, precious stones and pearls, 30 by 30 amas, v'chokuk behem esem b'rumesrim, and they're carving out and sawing into those stones spaces of 10 by 20. Omalahu, so he asks the Malachim Hani Lamai, what purpose are you carving those out for? Omrulay, so they told him, Sha'osid Akarish Bufalamid and Mashari Yerushalayim, that Hashem is going to set them up in the gates of Yerushalayim. Bear in mind, by the way, you know, you realize this story happened in the time of Rabbi Yochanan, which is 1,800 years ago, and it means already from then, the building of Yerushalayim, Lamaila, is already going on. As we have the famous thing about the Bis Mikdash, every mitzvah that we do builds another brick in the Mikdash HaShlishi, so we see that already from that time, this was already happening. Also a Talmid Rabbi Yochanan. So this Talmud came back to Rabbi Yochanan. Omalei says, Drosh Rebbe, go ahead, Rebbe, give your droshes. Olachon noel lidrash, and it's very worthy and then very very appropriate for you to be darshaning. Kasher amarta kein reisi. What you saw, what you said, is exactly what I saw. Omalei, so Rabbi Yochanan answers him, Reiko, you empty person. Umolei loy reisa loy haemanta. And what if you hadn't seen it, you wouldn't have believed it. Melagle galdivei chachamim ata. You're mocking the words of the chachamim. Nothing ain't a boy. So Rabbi Yochanan gave him a look. The Nasa gal shalat somos, and he turned into a pile of bones. Meaning, in other words, that so first of all, you have this expression in a few other places in Shas, Rashi in Shabbos, and in one of the places where it's mentioned, explains that, in other words, it wasn't just the guy died; it's the guy was as if he had died a long time ago, and all his flesh had decayed, and all that was left was bones. In other words, Maharsha says, "Reshoyim b'chayim, kriyim mesim." So now, when Rabbi Yochanan gives him a look, then it shows what he really is, which is that all along he was dead; he was already dead, and now he's demonstrated as that. A number of Mephoshim deal with the point that we do have other places in Shas where one of the Chachamim says something and one of the Talmidim or one of their fellow Chachamim says questions it, and we don't find that they're treated like that. Earlier in our sugya, we had one of Rav Baba Chana's stories, the one about the giant frog and the snake and the raven. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel had said, if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have believed it. You have another example. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Rav Gamliel gives a drasha, see the issue, shetelet b'chol yoyim, that in the future women will give birth every day. And when one of the Talmidim questions it, so that Rav Gamliel doesn't get angry at him and make him a gal shalat samas, he says, you have an example of it nowadays. A chicken lays eggs every day. Some of Foshim deal with a number of details and nuances of the differences. That I've actually addressed it one time in a letter, which is printed in back of one of the volumes of Likutei Sichos. There's a difference between private and public. There's a difference whether he says, if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have believed it, versus mocking him openly like this Talmud is doing. There can even be sometimes where the person, maybe in his heart, mocks it, but at least he doesn't speak openly in a chutzpahdik way, whereas here, this Talmud, Ligla Golovoyse Talmud, is actually saying it in an openly mocking way. And various other points along those lines of the differences.
I'm sorry. How do you know that Talmud actually said it? Maybe he said it in his mind, because other thorns of Rebbe would have rebuked him at that point, not later on.
Well, maybe. I mean, I guess the Rebbe didn't hear him saying that, but I guess the point is, we have to understand, so if I care, one of the explanations is, where it says Liglig v'Omar, for example, so it can mean Liglig in his mind, and then Omar, and he said it more respectfully outside. Here, where it doesn't say Omar b'chlal, then we have to understand that it means that he actually said it openly. And then also, you know, when he comes back over here and says, Kashera Marta Kain Reisi, like what, Rabbi Yochanan needs this guy's haskama to continue giving his droshes, that itself is part of the chutzpah as well. Bechlal, one interesting point in that regard that's brought in Sfarim is the real reality, the most important reality to us is what it says in the Torah. Meaning, in other words, as much as you might have, you see something begashmius, that's not necessarily the true reality. What you learn in Torah, that's more reality than what you see in the gashmiistic world. And this Talmud has it backwards over here. He's saying, I saw it with my own eyes, therefore I can believe the Torah that you taught, Rabbi Yochanan. But that's backwards, so therefore Rabbi Yochanan is telling him, you're a reiker, you're an empty person, you b'chlal have no idea how Torah is supposed to work.
Okay,
he wants to say it, but he doesn't have to say. He doesn't have to be legalig in the first place. And again, he doesn't have to say drush Rebbe l'chol nor lidrush as though Rabbi Yochanan needs his askama. Another point that Mefarshim bring up is Rabbi Yochanan over here was darshaning it based on a pasuk. So Mela, for example, let's say somebody else questions it or argues on it because he wants to understand the pasuk differently or because he has a different pasuk that seems to imply different. That's one thing. But here, this Talmud is just saying based on practical experience, we don't find such a thing. Fine, but the fact is that's not reason enough to go up against a pasuk and against Rabbi Yochanan's zirusha of a pasuk.
And still Hashem made him.
And still Hashem gave him the ability to see it. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Masi, though, I have a contradiction, though, to what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that the gates of Yerushalayim are going to be 10 by 20 amos. The Pasuk says in the Brachas in Parshas Vechokos, right, V'olach eschem koimimius. Hashem says, I will make you walk koimimius. Now, koimimius suggests, the Vav Sof suggests the plural. Actually, Rashbam says that it's darshaning from the two mems of koimimius. Marsha says it's more because it said koimimis. Anyway, so what does that mean? So it means that people will be 200 amas tall, which is twice the height of Adam Rishon after the Chetei Tzadas. The Gemara tells us the Chagiga that before the Chetei Tzadas, Adam reached Misofa Olam Bad Sofa, from one end of the world to the other, or Meha Oretz Ad LaRakia, from earth to heaven, which the Gemara says those are both the same size. Well, after the Chetei Tzadas, so the Gemara has the expression over there that Hashem, so to speak, put his hand on Adam and shrunk him down, but nevertheless he was still 100 amas tall. And the Maharal explains the symbolism of it, meaning 100 is a number representing completion, 10 times the 10 spheres. The 10 spheres, each one niskalal and all the other ones. So it represents that even after the Chetei Tzadas, Adam was on a far higher level than any of us can comprehend. Anyway, so now we're saying, Ma'osid Lavi, each of us will be twice that height. Marshall explains, nowadays the average height of a person is 3 amos, but we're not going to say that people are just going to be doubled to 6 amos, because, again, if Adam Rishon to begin with was created much larger than that, and even after the Chetei Tzadas, he was still so tall, surely you're not going to have the loss of love, that people are going to be less than that. Therefore, we have to understand that it means, that when we say twice, it means in terms of the height of Adam Rishon then. He's saying like this. So nowadays, the average person is about 3 amas tall. If you're going to say that Lo Asid Lavi is going to be doubled and only 6.
90 centimeters.
No, 3 amas. 90 centimeters, where you get that from? An amma is about a foot and a half, according to the Rav Chaim Noah, and about 2 feet, according to the Chazon Ish. It's Machlokas Rishonim. When we talk about that the average height of a person is 3 amas, does it mean from head to toe, or does it mean from neck to toe? In other words, like this, for example, we talk about a mikveh is 3 amos in height. But is that would actually fit the entire person from head to toe? Or is it, when you go into the water, you displace some of the water, so the water goes around you. So then it'll fill up the fourth amma. So then you have in the space of the mikveh, you have a fourth amma, which before that was empty of water. And now when you go in there, it's full of water and covers your head. It could very well be that Machlokas Rishonim itself reflects the two opinions later on of Achronim of the size of an Amma, because your average person is not 4.5. Your average person is not 4.5 feet tall, much taller than that. But the average person is not over 6 feet tall either. So maybe, in any case, the point is, Marashal says, given that we usually talk about the height of a person being 3 Ammas, if we just said that it was going to be doubled and it'll be 6 Ammas, that would still fall far short of what our mission was. If we're saying that Hashem is going to recreate everything, there's going to be a Bria Chadosha, then it has to be at least the size of our mission even after the Chetei Tzadas. So therefore, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda, that's why the mayor is saying it has to be 200 Ammas.
practicality of that, that we're going to be such a children.
So it could mean the Gashmius that will be much more giant, the same way, for example, as the Gemara tells us that when, for example, the Gemara gives us a number of things, and Tainus and Xubas and all, that the fruits also used to be much larger. So therefore, some people can also attack or be physically larger. It can also mean Bidruchnius, in other words, that again, a person has ten spheres within him. A person has the three motion and seven midas, and each of them is niskal. Each of them includes aspects of all the other ones, so makes a total of 100. Your average person doesn't actually live up to all those 100 mandrakes. So therefore they fall short of that, and then that's where, so here you have for example the Rebbe once explained, you know, you have the story with the Rebbe Rashab, where he was 4 or 5 years old and he cries, why Vayera Elav Avraham, why didn't Hashem appear to me? And the Samach Tzedek tells him when a Yid 99 years old realizes he needs a bris milah, then he deserves that the Eveshah should appear to him. So the Rebbe explained at least one time that what it means is Avraham realized he's at 99, he's 99% of the way there towards his shlemus, and nevertheless he realized there's still more to go. And then he needs a bris milah. So in other words, the point is, so when we talk about a person being 100 years old or being 100 amos tall, can also represent Ruchnius, that he's achieved everything in Ruchnius that he could. So therefore, so we're saying people will be even beyond that, according to the mayor, twice as much of that, or Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Meya Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says 100 Amar, meaning that each person will have the complete Ruchnius Tikashlemus that they should, connected Heichel with Koslam. And Rabbi Yehuda says 100 Amar corresponds to the height of the Heichel, of the walls of the Heichel. The total, the Heichel in the second verse of Mikdash was 100 Amar tall. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Asher bonenu kinitim, our sons are like plants, mugudolim binureim, grown up and then mature even when they're young. Veneisenu, our daughters, kizavius, are like corners, kizavius mechutavus, like the carved out corners, tavnus heichel, the image of the heichel. Meaning, in other words, that people will be the height of, meaning that people will be the height of the heichel. In other words, the question is, if people are going to be 100 or 200 amas tall, according to the different opinions, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the gates of Yerushalayim are going to be only 20 amas tall, so how are people fitting through those gates? So the answer is, you know what, Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about the actual gates themselves are going to be 10 by 20. He's referring to the windows in the walls that you have for air. So in other words, when the pasuk says of Sharayich la'avne etach, it doesn't mean the actual gates through which people will enter. Those will be much taller. We just mean the ventilation holes alone will be 20 by 10 amos, which is the size of the gates that were in the second base of Mekdash. Meanwhile, the height of people will be the total height of the second mishnah of the heichel in the second mishnah, which was 100 amos. Rashi actually learns that the heichel in the third mishnah, the shibonim meir of yemenu, will also be 100 amos tall. The pasuk in Yechezkel doesn't say the actual height of it; it just says goyvel abayis saviv saviv. So Rashi learns that it'll be the same as the second mishnah, that's 100 amos. The Malbim actually explains that it'll be much, much taller than that. So I guess the Malbim Shitta fits better with the idea that we're saying over here people will be 100 or 200 amas tall, because otherwise, again, if the whole Heichel, which is two floors, is going to be 100 amas tall, then people wouldn't fit in it. So we'll continue next time, Be'ez Hashem, talking more about the various things that Hashem is going to make for the Tzaddikim Lossed Lovely. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Tzayin Adar Aleph. Blaosid love of the Yetzahara will be annulled. As the pasuk says, that's Ruach HaTumah Avim in Haaretz. And the glory of Hashem will be revealed so much in the world, as you have the famous medrash that a person goes to a fig tree and thinks to pick a fruit on Shabbos, the tree itself will yell out, don't pick for me, it's Shabbos. So we see at that point, there won't even be the possibility of people doing Averis, even Beshergig, the same way as a child, by instinct, won't put his hand into a fire, or an animal won't jump into fire, meaning that nowadays, the fact that we stay away from Averis is by choice. It seems very attractive to do the Avera, and we have to force ourselves away from it. Lost with love, it'll be a natural instinct to stay away from Averis. Tezayin or Debez, it's Parshas Para, so talking about Para Adumah, the Rambam describes how so far in history there have been 9 Para Adumahs, and the 10th one will be prepared under the supervision of Mashiach, and it will also use, the Rambam previously describes, based on Mishnayos and Para, that every Para Adumah, when they make it, they're supposed to mix in some of the ashes of each of the previous ones when they're available. So that means that 10th Para, which is prepared under the supervision of Mashiach, will contain with it some of the ashes of Moshe Rabbeinu's original Para Adumah. So the Rebbe talks about Nesicha. That the Gemara points out in Yuma, Moshe of Aaron Imahim, that even when they first start the process of building the Beis Mikdash, Moshe and Aaron will already be there because they'll have the Uri Tchias Mason. Therefore, the old details of the Avodah, the Parah Aduma, can be accomplished by Aaron. Now, the original Parah Aduma was not done by Aaron, it was done by Elazar HaKohen. And Rashi mentions in the Pasuk, the reason is because the Parah Aduma, one point of the Parah Aduma is to be Mechafer for the Chet HaEgel, and Aaron himself is the one who made the Egel, and Ein Kategor Nasa Sanedr. But La'asid Lave, when the Chet HaEgel will be completely cleaned up, then that won't be relevant, and therefore, for sure, Aaron himself will be able to prepare the Parah Aduma. He's not going to want to forego and give it over and delegate it to anybody else. Okay, continuing with Dinim of Tzitzis, we talked about that a garment has to have at least four corners in order to be chayiv in Tzitzis, and we said that if it has more than four, it's machloikas, whether it's chayiv, it's better not to wear such a garment. So now, suppose a person folds over the corners, and it makes them, and they look round, nevertheless, it's still chayiv in Tzitzis, because if they're not cut off, then it means you still need them, and you're going to eventually take out the stitches, so now the talus still has four corners. So now what you would have to do is you'd have to put Tzitzis where at the location of each of the original corners, even though now it's sewn down. Because again, you'll eventually take out the stitches and return it to the way it was. What about if you didn't fold them in a rounded way, if you fold them in a way that, like, for example, diagonal, you talked about before, then you put tzitzis on the folded place because that still counts as the description of a corner. So in practice, you want a pater, a beged from tzitzis, it's not just enough to fold the fabric, you have to actually cut it to make it round, like they do on kapotas. Many times, kapotas are slit far up enough that they would be chayiv in tzitzis. They actually have four conifers, and therefore what they do is they cut one corner round, but they actually cut it rather than just folding it over, because here is the Alter Rebbe saying folding it wouldn't be good, folding and sewing it wouldn't be good enough.